Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Chase in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! That's it, pack the bag, start the plane, this game is over! How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
First, let me begin by saying it's great to be a Detroit Lion. I believe the time is now. Not 2 years or 3 years from now, down the road somewhere, but right here, right now.
He dives in for the touchdown. Did he get it? Yes, sir, he did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Matthew coming across. And the Lions have taken the lead with 12 seconds to go.
There's one goal here and one promise I made to Mrs. Ford. Is winning. If we can get one step better every day, that's putting this organization in the right direction.
Matthews got it. Gives to Abdullah right side. Got a hole. Abdullah 20. Abdullah 10. Sinks the man at the 8. And dances into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast post-game show with your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast live post-game show. First one of the 2017 season. Remember, this is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. Case, how you doing, my man?
It's like a unicorn.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, big show today. Lot to talk about, lot to unpack from the game. Wow, just a lot, right? So there's going to be a lot going on. And Case isn't really here. Riz isn't here either. And my other backup guy isn't here either. So this is a solo show with me and all of you out there. So we're going to count on your call-ins to help push the conversation forward. But in the meantime, Case, you ready to go, my man?
I'm toast.
This is no time for a quick release. We're going deep.
All righty, here we go. It's live, and this is the show. Boy, there is a lot to talk about, not the least being the runoff to end that game. And, you know, we've had conversations here in the house. I only got to see one replay of it afterwards, and then the runoff and everything, and then I had to start firing everything up for the studio. I checked in with my wife and son, and they said his knee did not touch the ground, and it was not overturned. So this may be even more controversial than I thought, but if there's anything to take away, okay, and I'm not going to make that something that isn't something to talk about. You know, Case always woes me back when I want to rip about the refs and makes me feel, you know, like maybe I'm being douchey, but I don't feel like it this time. So we can talk about all that. But the one, I think, real positive takeaway here is our Detroit Lions. This is, you know, last week in the show, I said they looked like a real football team. Guys, we played with a Super Bowl team that very well could have won the Super Bowl last year, the NFC MVP. And for all intents and purposes, we beat them. I said this was a 3-year project with Quinn before we really start hammering it, but I didn't expect this close and this good of a game out of these guys today. I am not diminishing what happened, and we will talk about that, but let's give credit to everyone but Ebron on this team for what they did on the field today, because holy cow, these guys really, really played it up. So a couple of quick announcements. Let's get through some of this here for you guys. Remember, we've got a tweet stream. See what those players are saying. Head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on that Get Social link. For those folks who aren't big Twitter folks, this is a great way to see the Twitter stuff without all the other fanfare, for lack of a better term, rolled in there. It's a pretty cool thing. Get Social, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. I don't have the scream from Guam from Case this time, but I do want to give a shout out to all our Patreon people. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We love you very much, and you guys help us keep this thing going and make it as good as we can make it. So don't forget about us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, at DET Lions Podcast. It's the best place to see Case. I don't know.
He has to pay me to keep my pants on.
We'll just go like that with it. All right. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. We need your review. Those are very, very helpful. Thank you for everyone that's been pushing those in the last couple of weeks. You guys have been awesome. And here's the big one. Give us a call. This isn't time to leave a voice message. You give us a call now on the show and take part. We'll get you on. We'll talk to you. And we'll talk about this game. It's on Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or on the telephone, you can call us at 248-782-8384. We'll get the lines open right now. 248-782-8384. Join the show and let's talk about it.
This is no time for a quick release. We're going deep.
You know, I think the hardest part about doing this solo is the no chance to take a leak. So I gotta lay off the beers as much as I want to pour them down my throat. I'm going to have to lay off. So I'll stick with water, but you guys can keep me company again. 248-782-8384, and we'll break this game down, and we'll talk about what we saw from the team out there today. Let me see here. I'm going to go to a couple of things. How about Amir Abdullah? The game he had, did he generate 379 yards of rushing? Well, no, he didn't. But what he did do is he held on to the ball. And that's something that was a problem for him for a long, long time. So he was able to hold the ball. He didn't fumble. There was a couple times when they were literally trying to rip that ball from his arms and strip it. And Amir stayed strong. He ran strong. Good growth out of him this year. I really, really liked what I saw out of Amir out there. What else we saw? I saw some pretty, aside from the call that we all know about, we saw some pretty ganky officiating out there, you know, ticky-tacky hold calls and then no hold calls on many, many plays. That was that was pretty shaggy. Greg Robinson, you know, after his shit show there in New York, really, really looked strong out there. The line as a whole looked pretty good, and I know, you know, they had some injuries on the Atlanta side of the ball, but I didn't see a whole lot of pressure. Nothing to show that our left tackle was not our premier left tackle in Taylor Decker. So, again, Robinson has proven to be serviceable so far. With his bad performance, we still won against New York. So that was pretty good. I didn't mind him out there today. He looked pretty good. Didn't take a whole ton of penalties. I don't think he got penalized at all, did he? I'm not sure that he did. So that was good. Matt Prater. You know, people say automatic, all that kind of stuff, but I'm thinking we just need to add some cheese fries to his Coney dog, because that dad bod has done it again. That guy is amazing. I again go back to the flow we had when we went from Jason Hansen, Eddie Murray before him, all those years of great kicking, and now Here we sit. You know, we had Freeze and some other terrible guys, and we get Prater back in the house. So that's good. Love seeing what he did. I see Silent Guy saying that Robinson sucked. He didn't pull the penalties like he did. Look, he's not a starting left tackle, Silent Guy, and he held up very, very well. When I heard that Decker went down injured, I was terrified of what this season was going to look like for the Lions. And I mean, there's a lot of people out there that called this team 7-9 at best before the season started. And, you know, they've turned out well. And without him performing, even at the level he is, as serviceable, we would not be nearly in the position we were. And we wouldn't have been in a position to win that game. So, no, he's no superstar by anybody's stretch. But he was definitely serviceable. So we'll go with that. I see a lot of people talking about robbery and evidence on justifying the overturn. That's going to be the big point. How about we throw the number out there for you guys if you want to give a call. We'll give it a shot here. The number is area code 248-782-8384. That's 248-782-8384. Also, you can hit us up via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. And, you know, we'll see what we got here. We'll see what's going on and have a chat. There's a lot of ugly out there in that game today. So, boy, it's not fun. What else we got? Yeah, you're right, Sanka. He was good enough. And he did get a lot of help from Theo and Fells and Roberts. And that's okay. That's how you have to set that up. Both on offense and defense, you know, well-coached team. They looked very good out there. I didn't expect him to do this well against Atlanta. This is not what I expected out of this Lions team, but they really brought it, so that was good. Let's see here. I can't believe no one's calling. Usually you guys are calling. I had a couple calls before we started. It's okay. We'll keep it rolling here. I want to give a call out to that. Yeah, the timeout usage was not ideal. I mean, I have to go back and see what we got on the timeouts. What did we do defensively when we burnt those? Because I didn't see it write down what the result of those timeouts are. If we got a stop or we played something well or the clock was well used, then maybe they were okay because it kept the score down. But I can't say that that's what happened. So it feels like we should have saved a timeout. We should have had a timeout. And that's something that we've ripped and many have ripped Caldwell about for a long time. And this is, you know, they were coached well today, though. Again, you're going against the NFC MVP. You're going against a team that made the Super Bowl and played really well. I'm looking for one of you guys to call, though, before I really break down the screw job at the end, the rip off that we got there. I can tell you we were missing Jared Davis, weren't we? That was ugly. I think we could have done a lot better with him in the mix, but we didn't have him. So got a call here. Let's take it in. Hello, caller. How are you?
Hello. Are you there?
There we go. How you doing, my man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little bit frustrated, but I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I called a second ago. I think I got dropped real quick, but I called back because You mentioned it right before we got on, but I was wondering what your thoughts on Jared Davis were. I really thought that was a big loss for us today, considering the fact that the running game was killing us all throughout that second half. Well, pretty much all throughout the whole game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and this looked a lot like 2016, didn't it? I mean, Atlanta knew yep. Jared was out, and they knew Tyre Whitehead was out there, and let's just pick on the linebackers. There were series where the defense looked just unstoppable, and there were series they looked like Swiss cheese. They got a lot more unstoppable towards the end, but I think Jared Davis's injury is really, really telling right in today's game, because I think that's absolutely the difference. The BS call aside, right, we wouldn't have needed that call mm-hmm. to be correct, we'll say, to win the game. It was crap. I think Jared Davis has shown that even as a rookie, he's got the talent to play that position, and he is absolutely an upgrade from what we have right now.
For sure. And I don't want to rag on the defense too hard. I know that they did have a lot of holes today, but to be honest, Stafford aside, they were really what kept us in that game with those interceptions.
Yep.
Glover Quinn and Darius Slay. When Darius Slay and Zettel went down on the same play, I was sitting there with my head between my knees, and my wife was like, "Are you okay? You look like you just got news that your mom just died." And I was like, "Well, I mean,
I almost would have preferred
I'm
it."
Fine.
No, sorry, I'm mom. Fine, but, I love you, mom.
Yeah, you know, seeing those two guys go down though, I mean, I'm so glad that they came back, but in the moment, that was terrifying.
Yeah, yeah, I was, my heart just stopped, and I got to admit, you know, as a longtime Lions fan, I lost all hope. it just ran out mm-hmm. of my body when that happened. It just hurt so bad. But Slay back in, Zettel was back in too. I didn't see as much out of him. I didn't notice as much on the field afterwards. This game was just, there was so much going on. It was incredible. It was really incredible. Again, I mean, look, this is a game that I feel like we won, but if you look back at it, even this result, this is a team. I thought it was a team with Bob Quinn's kind of where he was, how he was growing it and where he was going with it, that it was year three. We took a Super Bowl team to the last 8 seconds of the game. We did really, really good out there.
And that, I mean, a loss is always a loss, but you're right. That feels good as a Lions fan. Not the way it ended, but that the competitive nature of the team feels good. Even when everything's not running perfectly, the fact that we're still in the game against a team that everybody else in the nation thinks is going to be up there at the end.
You know what else we can take away from it?
That feel good.
Something else we can take away from this. If you look at the division, we played Atlanta way tougher than Green Bay even could have hoped to. You know what I mean? I mean, you're doing a little bit of, you know, transitive properties here in the equation, but I feel like when we go face Green Bay, we look like a team that can really take them out.
Well, and you never hope for injuries, but the fact that we did have injuries is, you know, Green Bay can't necessarily start saying, well, we were missing these people, and that's why we were so bad in that game. No, the Lions are missing key people. Swanson being out, shifting our entire line around. Decker's been out since the beginning. Jared Davis being out, you know, Hyder being out. You know, the Lions have a lot of people out too, and we stayed just much more competitive than the Packers were, and I think that's something that the Lions people, Lions fans can be encouraged about.
Absolutely. It's we have a real football team on our hands, and this is going to be an exciting season. Brandon, formerly Brandon the intern, now just Brandon the writer, he made a great point. If this comes down to one game out at the end of the season, we're going to look at this game right here and possibly march on the New York headquarters with torches, pitchforks, and other other implements of destruction. God, I can say that word, I know. It's incredible. And in a 16-game season, this could be a lot bigger than just, you know, oh, fuck, this is another shit job on the Lions in week three.
Yeah, definitely could. I mean, we're used to that. We're ready for it as fans, but I'm just hopeful that this year is a different year, and that's normal to always be hopeful. But before I open up, even let other people call, this is my wife is committing for the first time ever to be a fan this year. And I was like, this is a perfect game for you to watch because this is exactly what it's like to be a Lions fan. So.
Well, tell her welcome aboard. It's always good to have the ladies in our lives join us in this passion and the frustration because it's hard, you know, it's nice to have like both of you beating your heads against the wall at the same time. It's tough to do alone every week.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking my call.
All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling in and helping me get the technical stuff figured out. All right. Great call. Yeah, I see a couple things. Ebron can't catch. That's a big point for me. I'm so hot about Ebron right now that I'm actually not going to talk too much about him in the show because I'll probably say some terrible things. The call itself, I just saw somebody come in say that there was 11 seconds left on the clock before they blew the whistle at 8. I didn't see that. If that's the case, it's even worse. I also have to go back and see whether his knee truly was on the ground. My wife and son say it wasn't. They say when you look at it, his knee was just like a blade of grass width off the ground. And now to make an overturn on that call, that if that's the case and if they're right, then again, this is time to be extremely angry. Hey Ron, how you doing, man? Thanks for calling.
I'm doing good, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm really mixed. You know what I mean? I want to be angry as shit, and I am in my core. But we played really good against that team. I mean, there's something we can take away. There's like I don't want to say it's a win because it wasn't a win that we can take away, but there's something positive we can take away from this game. I did not think we would play them that close.
Well, I agree that they played them close, but I'm not going to go with you on the thing that they played really well. I did not like the fact, even though Prater is money, I did not like the fact that we settled for 4 field goals.
Yep.
The offense needed to play better than they did, no question about it. And why, again, the question, why does Stafford take 3 quarters to warm up?
Well, you know, and I'll tell you, I think it's different than 3 quarters of warm up. I think the play calling becomes his when it gets down to the 4-minute and 2-minute offense. I think sadly, Jim Bob is taken out of the equation a bit. And I think that it's his offense to run at that point and he gets to do what he wants. Now, would I want Stafford to manage a game? I think no. I think it would get pretty one dimensional at that point. I like what we're doing with the run this year. I think that, you know, it plays more like a real pro football team. It isn't always trying to run, you know, for the fourth quarter comeback. Now, the result has been, right, it didn't happen that way against the Giants. But this week we came down to comebacks again. But I would expect that against Atlanta. You're right; they didn't play well. There was a number of drives in which, let me rephrase that. It looked a lot harder for the Lions' offense to move the ball successfully than it did for Atlanta.
I agree with that.
I think that's absolutely the case that Atlanta is really the better team here. I think what we're seeing is there were so many opportunities where the Lions of yore would have fallen apart with those two calls in the fourth when we were mounting this last drive, right? The interference, the offensive pass interference, the holding. This team would have melted down last year and in the 10 years before that. They would just, the wheels would have come off the wagon. And we, and, you know, obviously there's no time left, but then we would have lost by 40 points because they just couldn't control themselves or keep themselves in the game. But they kept their composure really, really well. It's a different team. I really, really like what I'm seeing out of the players. And I want to go back because I want this team to win a Super Bowl this year, but this is a process. And Bob Quinn's only had two drafts, right? He's only had two free agencies. And look what we've done and how this team has already changed this amount of time. We're going to have a really exciting year this year. I think we're going to be a really good team. How we played against Atlanta, we put that team against Green Bay. We win. We win the division at that point. And we may win. You know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but that first playoff win is certainly within grasp of this team that we've seen in the first three games of the season. So there is a progression that we haven't seen from this team in decades. And so, again, I don't want to be too happy out of this, but I feel really good that we have a real football team that's not flashing in the pan, not some, you know, some quick spark that's going to burn out and fall apart. We've got real steady growth and real potential in this team, and I believe really 2018 is going to be a huge year for us, a huge year.
Well, yeah, you get another Bob Quinn draft, another free agency period to build upon what he's already done. And absolutely, that certainly looks like a good prognosis. As for this year, I'm still not sold on the offense. It can't get out of its way enough. You guys already mentioned the Ebron drops. Those really hurt. Did Kenny Golladay have a catch at all today? I didn't see that.
I saw two.
Two? Yeah. Okay. Sadly, my viewing experience today was not stellar. So I didn't see everything that happened. But I do want to say also the offensive pass interference on Marvin Jones, just a phantom call. I can't even believe that was called. I'm looking at it. I'm like, where? What? What did he do? So anyway, but I agree. I think it is definitely going to be an exciting year. I do think that they have a very good chance of winning the division. I'm very pleased with what I saw today on the defensive side, knowing that Jared Davis is probably not going to be out too long. He's going to be back. Is that right, Jared Davis?
Yeah.
Did I get that right? Yeah. Sorry. For some reason, I was having a brain fart there. But anyway, I think I agree with what you said earlier, that having him back, they don't run as well as they did today. And I'm just hoping the concussion thing is minor and he'll be back next week against Minnesota. So
I don't know that he has a history of that either. So in that regard, I think, you know, you hate it. You hate it ever to happen to anyone because there's so many unknowns about it. But hopefully it's a, you know, and I could rail on OBJ right now. And I'm really working on my control issues. I really am.
Doing well so far.
But, and you know, and interesting, all week, no real talk about that. And then I was right. No, big name OBJ with little known Jared Davis. Oh, he'll get away with that cheap shot. Spin that around. Jared Davis does that to OBJ. And it's a whole different ball of wax, whole different conversation, isn't it?
No question. No question.
Oh, well.
Yep.
So is the life of a Lions fan, right?
Indeed. Indeed.
All right. Well, hey, man, thanks a lot for calling, Ron. I appreciate it. Thanks for being a listener, man. You've been listening for long, since the beginning, haven't you?
Pretty much. Yep. Sadly, I don't get to call in as much as I used to, but I just made some changes in my life, including getting rid of a girlfriend. So I should be able to call in more frequently now.
All right, man. Love it. Love it, man. Join us and have some fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Chris.
We'll see you.
Talk to you.
All right. That's Ron. Love that. Love that call. All right. So you guys can give us a call. I'll get out the number here again. It is 248-782-8384. That's area code 248-782-8384. Or just give us a ring on the old telephone. It's, on the Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. That's one word. Detroit Lions Podcast via Skype. That's the best way to get in touch with us. And a lot going on here. Thanks also, Ron, for the call. Gave me a chance to drink some water and keep that throat lubricated, which probably leads to some of its own conversation. But got another caller here. How you doing from the 520?
Hello.
How you doing? What's your name?
My name's Will.
How you doing, Will?
Yes, I'm doing good. I am from the 520. We got an Arizona Lion fan right here.
Love it. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
How was life in Arizona after that Cards loss?
Life in Arizona was great. I could wear my Lions hat around town and have some pride for once after those, you know, four straight losses we had.
Yeah, that I hated Arizona. I was like, I don't want to say it was undue, but I really, really despise Arizona. Why could we not beat that team for those four games?
I know. I was at those last two games, too, in 2013 and 14. Miserable losses.
I'm sorry, man. Sorry.
It's all good, man. But past the past.
Yeah. What do you got for us today, bud?
Well, actually, I don't know a whole lot what to say. I wasn't expecting to, you know, actually be picked up. It's pretty cool. I'm actually on the podcast. But I don't know. I'm just trying really hard to be, you know, unbiased and to be fair and impartial. But that, you know, the call at the end of the game is definitely stirred up a lot of emotions, you know.
You know, and it's always this team that gets those calls.
I feel the same. I know. And I'm trying, you know, I'm making sure I'm not being, you know, using a confirmation bias. Exactly. But, yeah, if looking at the evidence in the rule book, you know, like his knee may have been down, you know, he might have been being touched at that moment. There's just too many mayhaves, too many gray areas. I don't feel like they had enough evidence to make such a major overturn on the call.
I agree. And like I said, when I looked at the replay, I only got to see one replay and then everything ended and I had to get things fired up here. But I thought his knee was down, and my better half and smarter son, they said no. And they showed me the, you know, they get the zoomed in pictures because it's the world of the internet, right? They're showing you, yeah, look, there's a plate of grass there. He's not touching the ground, right? It's the whole thing. And I'm like, well, okay, yeah, it looks like maybe he didn't. But to overturn that on that evidence and then literally on such little evidence and not conclusive, end the game and decide the game on that. Ooh. And then I'm hearing in the chat, someone said that there was 11 seconds on the clock when that happened, and they let it run down to 8.
Saw that.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good at all.
Essentially, they could have given us like 1 second left on the clock and given us one last play, right?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
If they had clocked it correctly.
Yeah. So another rule. I mean, I'm going back to the time that Jim Schwartz threw the red flag or threw the challenge flag on the
Thanksgiving game.
Yeah. It was a sour turkey that year. Calvin Johnson rule, everything, the bat. I mean, what is it with this team? I know, like you said, is this confirmation bias or is this really something? I mean, because God, I don't think there's a conspiracy, right? As a matter of fact, I know there's not a I don't want to say I know there's
it's
not.
It's hard not to think it, but yeah.
I don't know that there's not. But it just would seem crazy that there would be. But it sure feels like it. Like you said, man, it sure feels like it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out where I rank this one in pains of losses. You know, this is probably up there with Dallas. But one thing I'm glad about is this isn't the end of the season. This is a season ender, like the shoulder mask for Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago. Like, we still have a whole season ahead of us, and we just held on against one of the best teams in the NFL. So I have a lot of faith and optimism still left for the season.
Absolutely. This is a week when you can see a team lose and move up in the power rankings. And maybe for me, I inoculated myself a little bit by not thinking that they were going to pull it out this week. Like, I went in saying, look, I just want us to show up well and be a good team on the field. And that we did that well. Maybe I'm just a little not as mad as I would have been otherwise.
No, honestly, I thought the game was over those 2-3 and outs we had when defense kept wrapping us the ball back.
Yep.
And then, that last drive happened. Yep. Yeah.
And then the other part, and I'm going to work the other argument here, the other angle, you know, and I've seen it. People saying, well, you know, it shouldn't have gotten down to that. But, you know, the fact is it did. And Atlanta on the other side of the ball, yeah, they walk away with the win in, you know, whatever fashion that they got it. But they could very easily be saying the same thing. There's no way that this Atlanta team should be down to that last drive and that exposed to a loss from a Lions team, right? They could very easily say that. That's just the way the game played out and the way the chess game and the skill of the players worked out on the field today.
I never understand that argument when people say, like, you should never be in that position. It happens to every team always. The New England goes down 20-3. You know, Aaron Rodgers goes down, has to come back with a Hail Mary. It happens to the good teams and the bad teams. No one plays 100% ever. There's not 100-point victories in the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the way the game.
Yeah.
So you have to accept those bad plays and hope for the good ones because they're humans out there playing still.
Yeah, you look at the Patriots' undefeated year till the Super Bowl, right? I mean, they should have beaten those Giants by a mile, and they didn't. And it's just
absolutely.
The way it turned out. So, all right. Hey, man, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate the phone call.
Appreciate it. Love the show. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thanks a lot for listening. Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, he brought up one thing, the PI. He brought up the Pettigrew PI. And there was something I saw today that reminded me of that in this game. And, Banner, y'all remember the Dallas playoff game where the pass interference flag was picked up on the throw to Brandon Pettigrew. It was, you know, incredibly poorly done. But now we replayed that today. And I don't know if anybody else saw that, but and I think it was about the end of the first quarter, Nevin Lawson got called on pass interference. And, well, if he'd have turned his head around, you know, then maybe he wouldn't have gotten that call. That was exactly the same play. That was exactly the same play that they picked up the flag on us. So it just jumped out at me. And I, you know me, I need my friend Case to reel me back from bitching about these refs and this crappy calling, but they're really bad. And at a home game, according to all the data, you're supposed to get the benefit of the calls, and it didn't seem to happen. One other topic that I want to talk about, and before I do, I'll throw the number out there, but that number, 248-782-8384. Give us a call, 248-782-8384, or via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. Detroit Lions Podcast, give us a call. The thing I want to talk about was the poor tackling out there. And it's interesting, and I'm just kind of trying to think about this. Like, did we go back to 2010 Lions tackling skills? Did we become a team that couldn't tackle? Because there was plays where they'd walk through three, four guys, and they were looking like they were arm tackling and so on. I'm wondering if actually it wasn't the skill of the Atlanta players and Dont'a Freeman and so on that were just overpowering and outplaying the Lions defenders, using angles and spacing that made it so that they couldn't get more than an arm on them and couldn't get that tackle. Again, Atlanta's a good team. They're full of good players. When you play Atlanta, you're not just playing, you know, you don't just have Julio Jones out there. Right, or Sanu, or Freeman, or Coleman, or Matt Ryan. I mean, you can just walk through that offensive roster, and they've got the whole field open to them. They've got great players at all those positions. This is why they were at the Super Bowl, right? I mean, that's why they were winning for three quarters in the Super Bowl. They've got all kinds of weapons out there, and they were really, really a good team. And to have to defend against that is difficult. We got Babylonius out there. He said the defense was on point today. They were against that team. Against an offense like that, I can't expect to shut them down. I can't expect any team to shut down an offense like they have in Atlanta, especially a Lions team, historically, with who we've had and the talent we've had. So the defense played very, very well. Austin schemed great. Again, they took advantage of linebackers early. And, you know, missing Jared Davis really hurt. But, you know, Austin did a good job of scheming this team. Killebrew was money out there. He looked really good. Quinn, Slay. What a defense, man. They played really, really well against one hell of a team. So that's good. The end. That was really just bitter, painful. Ugly. We've talked about it a little bit, but I'll talk about it one more time and kind of weigh in. And you guys can call 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384, or if you want to do it via Skype and avoid those telephone charges, if there are any. Detroit Lions Podcast, it's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. And Skype on in and we'll get you on the show. But So there's just a lot of horse shit about that ending. An angry man about officiating again, about that call at the end. You just can't make that call. You cannot make that call and overturn and decide the game on a call with such unclear evidence. And of all things, and you guys know where I'm at on this, but of all fucking things, I had to stare at Dean Blandino's stupid face full of hooker glitter and fucking cocaine telling me that there's a 10-second runoff and you should call it. A tough guy would do that. Fuck you, Blandino. I'm sorry. I cannot stand that guy. He really jacked up the NFL for a long time, and there's some recovery that has to happen. So anyway, we got full-time officials. We'll see what'll happen. Bear Melcher, good one. Good one. I think that might be Arthur, actually. We need a good article on Reddit about the history of these types of losses. Maybe we could put on the Detroit Lions podcast site. Talk about something eye-opening, right? I don't want to pick at the scab, but revisit these ugly, ugly things, man. I also want to ask how many people had the comeback meme ready to post in the Reddit or on Twitter or whatever, because I'm sure there was plenty of them that were ready to pull that trigger. There may even be a number of deleted posts and tweets out there as a result of that. So as we get kind of closer here, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to get closer to closing down the show. We're not going to get any calls because I don't want to just talk you guys ear off and make you be bored. But give us a call, 248-782-8384. That's area code 248-782-8384 or via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. Again, that's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. I'm going through some of my notes here. There's one, actually, I can't believe I didn't talk about this. There's one play that does highlight this crappy officiating, and we didn't get a replay of it, and it really makes me a little angry. This was the catch, and we got a caller coming here. Hold on, caller. I'm just going to finish my story here and get a little bit of anger out. It was a catch, and I don't remember who made it, but he caught the ball. He was out of bounds. He caught the ball going out of bounds. They told us how he converted that third down for a first down. It was a great catch, and then Atlanta went to the hurry-up and got to the line. We got no TV replay, no time for the Lions to figure out if there should have been a replay. And after that play, we got the tip interception, right, which was a complete luck play, and you love it, and you're super happy, and they played well. But a tipped interception is not, you know, necessarily anything you could ever count on. We're never, ever going to see a replay of that. We will never, ever get to see that ball was caught, and he landed out of bounds. His hands were out of bounds when he landed, and then therefore he was out of bounds when he caught that ball. So that was a really, really bad call that they got away with. Atlanta tried to cheat their way, maybe cheating us out of our chance to get a replay, and they paid the price of that tipped interception. But again, poorly officiated at many, many angles, and there's some here that we won't even get to take a look at. Caller, thanks for calling, man. How you doing?
Hey, doing well. How about you?
I'm hanging in there. Kind of going a little solo today, but you guys are helping make it all right.
Yeah, well, no one's gotten on and just bitched about the referee, which is just absurd to me. But the last call, the referee was two flags thrown. I mean, two on the other side of the ball, which I think all four were pretty terrible calls. I was watching with my friend who's a Falcons fan. They call a holding, or he was a holding on Trufant, the other side of the field. I was like, dude, that sucks, but that's how it feels to be a Lions fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
They come back, and they get a pick at the end, and in the long run, we still lose. Let the athletes play. Keep the zebras on the sideline. It annoys the crap out of me watching the NFL. They just flags all the time. Referees deciding to end the games.
Yeah, they make themselves a story, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was the story beforehand.
Yep. After that Trufant holding call, we were holding. There was a blatant hold. I mean, I saw a jersey get. I mean, it was stretched at least 3 yards in the backfield against us. Right, the Lions were just holding like. I didn't see what it was, but it was like crazy. Yeah. No call, right? And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll go with it. But it's so inconsistent. I think that's the most frustrating thing. I want to know what holding is. I want to know what pass interference is. I want to know. You know, I don't want to know another 10-second runoff as long as, like, you know, but man, it's just, and this is the ten, sorry, I'm getting a little fired up here. The 10-second runoff, the thing about that's really, really going to be ugly is that rule will change now. At the end of this year, the owners' meetings, we're going to hear about how that rule changes. And next year, we're going to be the ones that get screwed because we didn't get the 10-second runoff. I've seen this story before. I know how it goes.
Just like Calvin Johnson and his clutch, week one against the Nats.
Over.
It amazes me. He's the fake snap over the center. He gets that snap off. Like, that's his team. He can do that. And the ESPN article, and they're saying, it didn't really matter. They wasn't able to get a playoff anyhow. Like, that's bullshit. Matthews never would have got the playoff. He could. Like, I just... Yeah. Oh, it hurts me. I'm actually not having much power.
Yep. I'm seeing in the chat Lucas Romain saying that when Matt Ryan was interviewed in the post game, he knew he should have lost. I don't know if he said anything, but... in his face, maybe you could see it. I don't know. I'm interested in that too. There's a lot of that's a hard part about when these games end and like you don't have a production staff and stuff. You got to like, oh, I can't watch all that stuff. I got to get everything ready to go. I need people, man. I need people.
the other thing is, I don't know if you saw the Bears Steelers game, but at the end of the half, they had the whole pat the ball at the back of the end zone thing, and a completely different call than what happened when it happened to the Lions a couple of years ago against the Seahawks.
Did it? Did it really?
It's annoying.
Oh, man.
The Bears like got the ball and they were able to like try to score. It wasn't a safety or whatever they called against the Seahawks with us. But yeah, I just want to call it because no one bitched about it. It's absurd. The ref should not have this much control over the game. Roger Goodell's a scumbag.
He needs
to be fired. And
he's got to be mobbed up, right? I mean, I can't think of anything else. Any other reason?
We all sound like Lions fans, but
yeah, it's hard. And Eric Ebron, the thing is, I'm gonna make a prediction right now. Where he's not gonna get signed. If he keeps playing like this, he won't get signed. But he'll go to another team and he'll be the superstar everyone thought he could have been.
Patriots would trade a fourth round draft pick for him, and he'll be the next Gronkowski.
Mayhew would have talked him down to a six. All right, man. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it.
Yep, no problem.
Oh man, that was good. Love that. All right, so yep, that was it. So those unseen things like that is pretty something. Kenny Galladay. Can someone hit me in the chat? He had two catches today, right? Nothing super spectacular. And I think I understand why people are pushing the Kenny G meme. Besides the fact that they like, you know, they're closet smooth jazz listeners, but they just want to use the stupid saxophone emoji, right? Isn't that what you guys are doing? Isn't that what it's all about? Yeah, I can put a saxophone up on Twitter. Stafford's arm wrap on the game. That's something to probably be concerned about. He was out there. He looked okay, but so early in the season, you don't want to see him banged up, right? That's nothing. Last thing about Stafford, and I'll just kind of go into it. If you guys give a call, that's great. But then if not, we'll start shutting things down a little bit here. The touch ball, you know, we've heard about it, you know, and they always have these narratives that they put together in the off season, right? Oh yeah. Yeah. The Stafford babies is going to be one. And I'm not knocking the Stafford babies in any way, shape or form. They're beautiful little girls and it's gorgeous family and all that, but we're going to hear about that. Just like Chris Durham was his roommate forever. We're just going to hear about it forever and ever and ever. But, Matthew Stafford was working on his touch pass this offseason, right? Guy's 27 years old, 28, something like that, 29. Forget, God, I got to remember this shit. But he's old enough that he's probably been throwing the ball a little while, right? But we've talked about it. This guy, he threw those bullets all the time. And he's come out this year. It started in the preseason, and it looked like he really was, like, consciously thinking about the touch ball. He's put out touch passes like I haven't seen from Stafford in his career in Detroit yet. He's put some balls out there that are a completely different animal than he used to throw. This may save fingers of guys like, you know, Golden Tate, may extend his career. And so he doesn't look like, he's got a mangled hay fork, pitchfork at the end of his hand. Those balls are really sailing well. Looking good. He's doing a good job of just dropping those balls in there when he needs to. There's been a couple times I've seen where he kind of went touch when he would have gone bullet before, and he probably would have been better off sticking with the bullet, but I'm not going to knock him. There's again, continued growth for Matthew Stafford, and he's out there, man. And I love the way this guy, the way he plays, and the touch he has, the balls on this guy. He's spectacular. He's definitely a quarterback, and we can have the conversation anytime. But he is worth every single penny that this team is paying him. I'll tell you straight up, I'm in with that. All right, guys. So that's gonna do it. We're gonna close out the show this week. Before we do, one last thing. I just want to talk about. Oh, we've got a caller. Hold on. This is the golden tones, the golden throat of our old friend Ash Thompson, DLP writer, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Ash, how you doing, man?
Not too bad, Chris. How about yourself?
I'm surprisingly okay, I guess, is where I've landed.
Yeah, I have also a disturbing lack of anger right now.
I mean, it's in there. I have it in there, right?
Yep.
I could. Like the right trigger, and like I'm out in the backyard kicking the neighbor's dog or something, right? But I just can try.
Yeah,
sure. Oh God.
Go ahead. Basically, the thing that is irritating me about this game most, it's not the close call at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Any way you look at that, the refs are going to screw things up. Yada yada yada. Throw it to a guy in the end zone. That's not a problem. You know what I mean? Right, like the team right. Put themselves in the situation where that could be the issue. So I'm not going to lose my mind about that. I also happen to think that it was the right call and the rules just screwed us, but whatever. The thing that's really irritating the hell out of me is Eric Ebron.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not going to go off on this, but I kind of need to.
Okay. That's okay. I think I need someone to.
Eric Ebron right now is averaging 6.7 yards per catch, Chris.
Oh, that's huge. That's 6.7
yards per catch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he dropped 3 passes today. So why in the hell in the fourth quarter with the game on the line is this guy on the field? What possible reason is there for that? He's caught 9 balls and dropped 4 this year. That's not the guy you want to have on the field when the game is on the line.
They're just trying to help.
You know, like barring a bunch of penalties from Atlanta, those drops cost us the game today.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And why, you know, you talk about the hot hand in basketball all the time, right?
Yep.
And when the guy's cold, don't go there. And we kept trying to force it to Ebron. And I don't, you know, I love me some Stafford, and I guess maybe I have to be put on my objective glasses. I don't know why he threw to him. He was probably open, but you can't count on him. He's just got to be decoy out there this week. He's got nothing going for you. I mean, you see guys come back from that sometimes, I guess. I don't know, but Trizzle, yo, you nailed it. God, I hate Ebron. And Bear.
Absolutely.
Bear, he's the best tight end in his own mind. That's for sure. I mean,
he was open. Yeah. But getting open doesn't matter if you can't catch the ball. It's the least important aspect of what a wide receiver does is just being able to run outside and then have the strong side linebacker not be as fast as you. Like if that's your athletic upside, is the worst coverage guy on the other team can't keep up with you. That's not good enough to have you on there. Cause you know what? Darren Fells also is faster than the worst coverage guy on the Falcons defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he catches the ball and he can block. And I mean, people are all over Eric Ebron's improved blocking this year. And I just threw up air quotes in a room with my dog to impress it. But like the block, the gifts I'm seeing online, he's just not screwing up. Like he's getting in the way and delaying 1/8 of a second until he then gets blown past by the defensive end. You know what I mean? He's not actually able to block.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he and there was a point until very, very late in the game where Darren Fells had more yards than he did.
Yep, absolutely. And when they're going double tight, ever increasingly, they're doing that with Roberts and Fells. So I think they're kind of coming to realize slowly that, like, I think we've got another situation here, like when they used to only throw the ball when Theo Riddick was in the game.
Right.
What? You know what I mean? Like, Ebron is only playing on passing downs.
And what's the thing? Remind me, I guess, for some reason I'm drawing a blank. The wide receiver who went crazy, who's probably, I think, in jail now.
Titus Young.
Thank you very much. Well, I don't know why I was drawing a blank on that one. Is this a situation?
Some things you'd rather forget.
Right? Where he is so ineffective that he becomes a hindrance to the offense. And again, this is a stretch from where we are with Ebron right now. I'm not saying this is the case, but the path we're walking down is very eerily reminiscent. His attitude is not like Titus Young was. He's not an angry guy. But he's far, far too arrogant for his ability.
Yeah, he's not going to completely lose his mind and cost himself an NFL career. Like you said, hopefully we don't sign him, but somebody will, and they'll pay him for a few more years a bunch of money he probably doesn't deserve. And maybe he pulls it around, maybe he doesn't, but it's not happening here, and it's not happening with this team. Like, no. I've been a defender of Ebron for his entire career. I am the poster child of he's getting better every year. But when you look at it, even in his college career, like, this guy hasn't topped 5 touchdowns since high school. Why is anyone thinking he's going to do it now?
God. He runs weak. He runs scared.
Yep.
Right? I mean, he runs out of bounds. I was watching, and maybe this is part of the difference of the passion of college ball versus pro ball. But I was watching the Michigan game yesterday, and I apologize to all my Michigan State guys, but I'm a big U of M guy, so just live with it, and I love you still anyway. Don't worry. But I watched the tight end catch the ball, and I was like, I saw the play. I was easily, and we saw it last week against the Giants. Ebron would have run out of bounds there. He would have just coasted out of bounds and not done anything.
Yep.
This guy turned it upfield, tried to truck a dude, took a hard hit, and kept moving and played the game. Ebron is so weak. And I mean, the decision making, the catching ability, and you know what? I think he got a taste today. The boos that rained down on him, you didn't hear as much on TV, but I was hearing from folks that were in the stadium that it was roaring with boos on that interception he had out of bounds. That fumble, non-catch, right? I'm starting to get angry. I can't even talk.
Yep. Do you want me to bring you back?
You know,
I got some stuff to bring you back.
You know the one. You know the one. But those boos, those are the ones that's him on notice right now. That's Eric Ebron on notice from the fans. And you know Martha Ford heard that. And she's down there with the Nerf gun pretty soon with the "you're fired" darts in it. And she's going to start shooting people. And I hope she's got one for him with his name on it, because he's just, you know, he could turn it around. You know, and that's the one thing that's funny about this sport. We're 3 games in. He could suddenly turn it around this year. And maybe this game and those boos are what he needed to actually motivate him to motivate him and to inspire him to be the tight end that he's supposed to be. Maybe that's the wake-up call this week. I don't think so. I don't think Eric Ebron will ever get a wake-up call.
I think if catching flack from fans was going to turn him around, it would have.
Yeah. I don't think that's my personal opinion. This week, though. I don't think he's ever seen
it. Fair enough. Yeah, open boos when the game is close.
Yeah, this is
not really usually how that goes.
This is Detroit. It's not New York, right? And he can always pine off, "Oh, it's Twitter trolls and weak Twitter people on Twitter saying mean things." They let him know. So I don't think that Ebron is a get inspired kind of guy, though. I think he's too arrogant
and
narcissistic to be that kind of guy. So will it turn him around? No, it's somehow going to wind up being the fans' fault, and they brought him down. Speaking of down, Green Bay's down 21-7 at halftime. I couldn't believe it. This is my lock game for the NFL podcast, that the Green Bay was going to beat the Bengals. This is what I get. All right, so
that's what you get for turncoating, Chris.
Bring me back. You said you're going to bring me back. You had something for me.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, like, let's put in perspective. The Lions beat 2 bad teams and lost a close one to the best team in the AFC. You know what I mean? In the end, things are actually going much better than I thought they were going to go this year. Like, I had us at 0-3 at this point, so I'll take 2-1 anytime and be perfectly happy with that. And one of the huge factors in that is the secondary. Last season, the Lions had 10 interceptions on the entire year. Mm-hmm. This season, they've already got 7. They're on pace for 37 interceptions.
You're right. It's a different. This defense is different, right? And
yep.
I was worried about not having Jared Davis, and the game opened up. You know, they were just destroying us. They're running, passing at will. Drive. I was like, oh shit, this is.
When I saw Nick Ballore and Paul Warlow both on the field at the same time, I was like, oh no. that cannot happen.
I wonder and what's have on winning the other football be played right
at the same
now.
Time. Those are not things.
Yeah.
I just looked at that. I'm like, that's like, just not to put it to a racial level here, but like, that's too many white guys on this roster.
Yeah, that was just ugly. So the fact that they held it together, I mean, again, that first drive that Atlanta had just scared me for the rest of the game. And they pretty much had their way with the defense, but there was surges where, you know, they talk about the Austin's, Terrell Austin's defense being a bend, don't break. And they really did kind of live up to that, didn't they? I mean, they snapped
they generally
the place
do.
A matter, number of times out there against a team. Like I said, you've got to cover everybody on the field when you play Atlanta. That, and just like the Patriots, yep. right? They're just a great team with a bunch of weapons and a hell of a system that will just exploit any weakness you have, they will yep. exploit the shit out of it. And
absolutely.
Without Jared Davis in there as the mic, man, we did really well. I felt, again, this is a good team. We're healthy. We're unstoppable. I think we can play with the best yep. of them. So good stuff. Okay.
And I was very encouraged that they didn't put Whitehead in the middle.
Yes. Yeah, well,
you know what I mean? Like, just they've seen a year of that. They know that that's a terrible idea. They know exactly how that one turns out. You know what I mean? So the fact that they didn't just go back to that.
They want to reserve the booze for Ebron on that one.
Yeah.
All right, Ash.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for the call, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for taking me down and building me back up. Sometimes it's just what you need.
Have a good week, Chris.
You too, bud. All right, that was Ash Thompson, DetroitLionsPodcast.com writer. He does great, great stuff on the site. Make sure you check it out. Got some great writers over there, and I think that's going to do it for this show, guys. Remember, we need your involvement. This is the first live show, new platform, first one I'm doing solo. It's kind of a little crazy out here, so check us out in the thread and give us some feedback. What did you think of the show? What worked? What didn't for you? And don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. And anybody, any kind of help you can give, we greatly appreciate. Also, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. You're going to see a lot more action on Facebook from us, so it's going to be fun to see that ramp up here shortly. And on Twitter, at DET Lions Podcast. It's at DET Lions Podcast. It's the best place to see Case.
He has to pay me to keep my pants on. So
that's right. That's right. All right. That's it. Remember, you can still leave us a voice. You can still leave us a voice message for the show. Just do it via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. That's 929-335-4667. Give us a call, leave a message. You can talk about the show. You can curse, you can do whatever. It's okay. Leave us a message. We'll get you on the show. You can hear yourself weigh in about those refs. Let us know what you think, guys. All right. Also, we didn't put the ad in the middle of the show, but if you get a chance, you're going to go to Amazon or you want to get any Lions gear, head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and use that shop link. All you guys that have been doing that, thank you so, so much. Independent media here. There's no Vox. There's no Gannett. There's no big money behind us. It's just, you know, my wallet, my, you know, not what's become my second job. So all you guys that help us out by doing that, thanks a lot. It's a great way to help the show by doing something you're going to do anyway. Make sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast, and we will come inside your little box automatically. You guys keep doing it, so I guess you're liking it. Thanks for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go, baby.
Lions on three. One, two, three. Lions!